Well, the iPad has only been around 3 years, and it has been a game changer for toddlers. That's right. According to child researchers, you can hide an iPhone from little ones. An iPad, it's big and bright. You can touch it and things happen. As one reviewer of Children's Media said, it's a baby rattle on steroids. Well, like a lot of parents, Hannah Rosen, national correspondent for The Atlantic, was concerned. Unlike her older children, who were well into school before they were truly comfortable with devices, her toddler Gideon was not even 2 when the iPod came out, and he was soon coming home from preschool asking for apps that were cool in his toddler set. Here he is, mesmerized by one as mom looks on.
Tree.
Tree? You're looking for a tree?
No, the one where the bee comes out.
Oh, which one is that?
G-R-O-W.
Grow.
Now, we know that the American Academy of Pediatrics has long discouraged passive media use, televisions, even game consoles where all the action is on the screen. But the Academy has not weighed in yet on interactive applications, and Hannah wondered, might they be better for kids? Might parents be imposing their own neurotic guilt about technology on their toddlers? Her answers? Yes and yes. Her cover story for The Atlantic is titled The Touchscreen Generation, and she joins us. Hannah, nice to have you back.
Great to be here.
And let's start where your story starts. You find yourself at a toddler app developers conference. Even the thought of that makes some parents cringe. Here's a beautiful sunny day. You see kids glued to their iPad screens, 30-something researchers working at apps aimed for 1 to 4-year-olds, saying things to you like, we want to make it easy enough for babies to understand. Just reading that sounded disturbing. What was it like to be there?
That's very funny. I was looking at an alternative perspective, basically. I knew that parents were stuck in this neuroticism. You know, they were passing back their phones to their kids, but they didn't have a resolved understanding of how they wanted to use the technology and what it was like. So I thought I would go into the belly of the beast, you know, talk to the experts, basically. These people are parents for the most part, but they're also app developers. They're entrepreneurs. They live in Silicon Valley. And yes, as you described, they were people who were designing apps specifically targeted for very young children, which is a really huge growing part of the app market. We have all sorts of nightmares about it. Are they trying to hook our children? You know, is this the equivalent of sugary cereal? But that's not what I ended up coming out thinking.
You came out thinking, hey, there might be some good because this is interactive. But still, you found even these app developers had almost like a shame around giving the tablets to their kids, and they restricted their kids.
Yeah, there was once a great story in the New York Times about how Silicon Valley entrepreneurs send their children to a Waldorf school that is free of all technology. And I think when you deal with the technology so much, what I realized is that your paranoia maybe gets increased instead of decreased.
No, you mentioned the Waldorf school. The Waldorf school thinking is that too much technology is harmful for the child, not just in helping them develop an imagination, but also there is research that shows that too much technology damages the brain. Britain introduced something called the Nappy curriculum back in 2008. This was sort of an edict that toddlers be introduced to computers as young as 22 months. And there's a Dr. Eric Sigman in Britain who just went nuts over this. He said, no, it's not just about the zombie effect that we worried about putting them in front of the television set. You mentioned, you know, that in your article. But it's actually stunting brain development. What did you find on that?
You know, that can't possibly be well-researched or true yet. There's very little evidence, and there's very little way for us to know how it would be stunting brain development. I think where I came down is that we live in a technological world, and there are wonderful apps that help children kind of enable their curiosity. And I think that's where apps are moving, and that's where the research is headed. And so to just kind of put up your hand and say, no, this is terrible, we shouldn't do it, when we all as parents do it, is really not that helpful. I mean, there isn't any evidence that any technology destroys anyone's brains. You know, there's a little bit of consensus around the idea that if you look at screens late at night, it does something to your circadian rhythm. I mean, there's a few things that researchers say, okay, maybe we have a little bit of evidence on that. So these terms we use, like destroy your brain or turn your brain to mush, these are sort of casual terms we use because we are alarmed at the sight of the child's face staring at the screen more than, you know, actual scientific terms that have some basis in real neurological research.
Well, and your point is that we have come exponentially so far from the more passive use of technology to the interactive nature of the tablet. So I've got one in front of me. Let's just hear what we're talking about. Oh, here's the talking hippo.
So the talking hippo.
So whatever I say, he's going to say. How did Gideon react to him?
How did Gideon react to him?
There he is, my friend, the talking hippo. That was the first app that Gideon discovered. He was not yet two. And when you originally read that quote from a researcher saying a rattle on steroids, this is precisely what he was referring to. What children that age look for in games that they play is a reaction. They do something, and then the game does something back. And so television doesn't really do that. The closest that you get is in some shows like Blue's Clues. You know, Joe in Blue's Clues will ask a question and then pause, and the children will answer the question. That's as close as TV can get. But apps are very different. It's like shaking a rattle. You touch the hippo giggles. It's as close to interaction as technology gets.
Well, first, let's listen to a clip from Blue's Clues, because researchers say this was the show that came the closest because it had a pause.
Okay, we're inside. The doors are shut. Let's go. Not yet. Well, what else do we have to do before we can go?
Put your seatbelt on.
Oh.
And that idea of the pause was seen as a big development.
Yeah, so there's been many years of research about television and what kinds of television are good for children, down to the very specifics. Should you cut back in time? What kind of characters should you use? Why did this happen? Because people were hysterical and alarmed when Sesame Street was formed, believe it or not. And so people started working closely with children's media researchers to see what kind of television would be good for children. And one of the shows that is very well researched that they came up with is Blue's Clues, and this idea of the pause, because the pause is a place where a child can feel like the television is talking to the child. The television wants the child's answer, is interested in what the child has to say. So that was considered a great innovation. Now that we have apps, we realize, you know, you can do better than that. What I'm trying to accomplish with this article is to get rid of the instinctive horror, to get parents to realize that we live in a technological age, that there are really cool and interesting things that technology can do, which can be part of the process of inquiry and imagination and all the things that you want for your child. So not to instinctively, automatically treat it like poison. You know, talk about it like it's poison and a lollipop and sugary sodas. It's really not the same. So I guess I'm just trying to move us a little step forward. That little step forward is not, you know, all technology is awesome. We should embrace it with open arms, let your kids sit there all day long and do what they want. That's not the place we want to land at, but it would be a slightly more thoughtful place than the neurotic place we're in now.
Atlantic Magazine's Anna Rosen, her provocative piece on toddlers and interactive apps is the cover story. When we come back, more on those apps, like the Toca Hair Salon. Want a haircut? Or a blow dry? But should kids be doing this on their dolls and not on an iPad? That's in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about interactive apps for toddlers with Hanna Rosen, national correspondent for The Atlantic. Now, while there is research showing too much passive screen time can harm a toddler's development, Hanna argues that apps are different. They're interactive, and she's talked to researchers who say they can help kids learn. And her toddler, Gideon, has used educational apps like Noodle Words, in which a child gets two little bees to act out words.
Bump. Jump. Surprise!
But then Hanna also discovered apps from a company called Toca Boca, which bills itself as a play studio that makes digital toys for kids. For instance, there is a hair salon app where you can move your finger over the faces of the characters like a lion, and you can cut and style hair as I am. So, Hanna, in your view, what's the benefit of these apps?
Well, I mentioned Toca Boca and their various games, and particularly Hair Salon, because they have a very different philosophy, which is that, you know, not everything has to be explicitly educational to be good. You don't always have to be learning your letters and numbers, which is what I think a lot of parents do feel comfortable with. Their philosophy is that children need to be free to imagine and create and be a little subversive. So they create their apps with that thought in mind. So Toca Boca Hair Salon, in my family, is appealing to all ages, my toddler, my preteen, the adult. adults play it sometimes. It's just a game where you get to cut hair, which you don't normally get to do, and where the characters are really funny, and there's no winning or losing, and you don't get a reward if you draw your M right or your N right. It's just a fun, creative game that, you know, makes kids laugh, and they can sort of make it what they want, which is the Toca Boca philosophies.
My favorite part is where you blow dry. Where's the blow dryer here? What happens is if you put your finger around the creature's face, you're like blowing their face, and their face gets all smushed up. It's funny.
Yeah. You know, it makes these hilarious shapes. They always giggle when they have the blow dryer on. It's just, you know, it's just fun. Some of what parents do now is they let their kids play, but only if it's really, really explicitly educational, you know, which is fine. I mean, my kids love some of the educational apps. But again, I think we can be even more creative than that in how we approach this technology.
But yet, you say, after explaining some of these other games, you do say that you realize that this isn't the social partner that the American Academy of Pediatrics really wishes that kids have. I mean, this is not a caregiver. This isn't a parent interacting with a child.
Of course not. There's many hours in the day, and I think there's enough hours to sit with your child and teach them about a cool game they might like, and other hours to say, you know, we're just having dinner now, no technology. Yeah. You don't have to choose one or the other.
I'm looking at the Toca Tea Party. It's really simple. They just sit down at a table and decide what kind of tablecloth to spread out. To the parent who says, but I'd rather have my kids sit around at a real tea party and really interact with each other and have that joy of make-believe, that Waldorf school experience that people pay a lot for, that's actually tactile and they're actually doing it together, you would say what?
Sure, you should absolutely have that. It's just a different thing. It's like, technology can do things that other things can't do. You know, you can't spill endlessly in your normal tea party. You know, probably your mom is going to get annoyed after a while. It's just a different form of doing the same thing.
Is there a little
bit... One does not substitute for the other. They just enhance each other.
I'm wondering, though, too, if you've met researchers who have said, well, you know what, tea party might be one thing, but yearning for hopscotch. I mean, it's just not happening. I mean, a sense of this is the reality now. The researcher I mentioned from Britain, when he was told that the government there wants to prepare children for the reality, which is technology is part of our lives, you know, he said, well, they want cookies too. You know, cookies are reality. We don't give them cookies every day. But I'm wondering, have people said to you, it's not
technology
just...
is nothing to do. It's not cookies. See, that's the point I want to make here, is that it's not cookies. Like, it's not poison. It's not cookies. There are really wonderful games that do really wonderful things that are very different than what kids do in other areas of their life, and I think that's good. In the same way that do I feel guilty every time I turn on the television? No. I think television and, you know, there's many wonderful TV shows it's a very different medium than reading. It does not replace my reading. It doesn't mean that I'm never going to read a novel again. There's many great, interesting, wonderful apps. I mean, my little kid, you know, he plays apps about states right now. That happens to be his particular obsession. He also does this giant foam puzzle of states. He also reads this atlas about states. He just is going through a moment, as parents recognize, where he's obsessed with states. Mm-hmm. So some of that he does on the app, some of it, you know, where they ask little questions and he gets to point out the shapes of the states, and some he does with his very tactile foam puzzle. It's just 10 different ways of interacting with his momentary obsession.
Well, again, if people just joined us, you know, the criticism is that at 2 or 3, your brain's still developing. At 30 or 40, have at it. But you did an experiment with Gideon, your little guy. You decided to let him use the iPad as much as he wanted. What happened?
So I was basically following the lead of a researcher named Mark Prensky, who writes a lot about children and technology, and he said he did this with his 7-year-old son, and it honestly never occurred to me. He just lets him have at it in any way the kid wants to. So, you know, his kid can play the Wii or watch a movie or play with his Legos, and he really doesn't put any limits on his kid, which was the most extreme version of this I came across. And so I decided to try it with my own son, and what I discovered was, it was quite interesting. He was very annoying for the first 2 weeks. Like, he wanted to play it in the morning, you know, very inconvenient times, like when we were getting ready to go to preschool at the time, you know, at night when we were getting ready to have dinner. It was totally a nuisance. And then after about a couple of weeks, he dropped it under the bed one day and forgot about it, like any other toy. He just forgot about it for about 6 or 7 weeks, really. And then he, you know, got interested in letters because he was doing letters in school, and he remembered this app called Letter School and saw his brother playing with it, so he got interested again for a little while, but not nearly as obsessively as he had the first time. And it all just kind of got normalized. It was quite a good experiment in my household, actually, because it just went in and out of rotation like many other toys do.
Like all the toys in Toy Story.
Exactly. It was beloved, and then it was less beloved.
Interesting. Hannah Rosen, national correspondent for The Atlantic. Thanks so much.
Sure. Thank you so much.
So we've got links and demos at hereandnow.org and would love your thoughts there as well. Do you agree with Hannah or are you appalled? Weigh in at hereandnow.org. Latest news is next. Here and Now.